Good morning. Welcome to Chamber Chat. This is Jack Llewellyn from the Chamber of Commerce. And for any Chamber upcoming event, go to DurangoBusiness.org. And a quick plug, tickets are on sale for Durango Rocks, and that's happening on January 17th. All the of the year titles that we'll be giving out at that. And gentleman that's in the studio with me, I've always thought if I had to have a replacement for Durango Rocks, Dan Corman, you're on my short list.
Well, you rock, Jack. That's very nice of you. Thank you.
Well, I figured that it'd be one of those things where, seriously, if I ever to come down with something, I'd be calling you going, hey, I need you to fill in.
Thanks, man. Well, I love doing events. So, yeah, if you ever need an MC, give me a shout, man.
Well, and I heard you did a great job at the summit. I was not there because I was traveling, but I heard you were the MC there.
We missed you. Yes, it was quite the event. It was very successful this year, and our speakers were out of the box. So yeah. It was easy just to facilitate, you know?
Yeah. No, you are the, owner, CEO, president of Alpenglow Properties.
Broker
and
owner.
Janitor.
Yeah, totally. Front desk lady. All
everything.
Of the above, yeah. So started Alpenglow in January 15th, so we're just about to wrap up year 5.
Nice.
Very exciting. Yeah. And just moving and shaking here in Durango.
So in that 5 years that you've been doing this, what are some of the, I guess, trends that you're seeing out there in the real estate area of La Plata County, Durango?
It's been an incredible 5 years. Ultimately, Durango's real estate market has had this steady upward trend, both median price, average price, units sold, those types of things. Currently, we're sitting in a really cool part of the market where generally the lack of inventory puts upward pressure on price, but we've had a lot of new builds come online. We've had a lot of townhomes and condos come online. So the active supply really has lent itself to helping shave off some of the edges of the pricing. So we're seeing a little bit of a softening in the median and average price range.
And what is the average and median price of a home? Let's say, you know, kind of break it down in Durango and then in La Plata County or Bayfield, however you want to do that.
Yeah, I don't have my stats in front of me, unfortunately, but in general, I can hit them. So the average price is a little bit higher than the median in-town Durango single family. And if you look at the median price, it's right around 500,000, just over 500,000 for the city. And then the county, if I remember correctly, was just under 400, but don't quote me on that.
Sure, no problem. Well, and you know, how many homes average maybe are being sold each month? Because I know if you had $1 million home, that's going to skew the numbers if you know
right.
You only have 5 homes sold.
That's the thing about statistics in our area is that there are so many outliers and the sample size is so small that you can actually change the trajectory of your graph very easily here. So for example, this year to date, I think it was November 21st is the last time I pulled it. We saw just over 1,000 single family homes sold in La Plata County, which is, you know, if you think about places like Denver or San Francisco, it's not a lot of houses, but for here it is. By month, it totally changes. The graphs are like teeth, up and down, up and down, and up and down. When you look at an annual statistic and you look at the graph in that 1 year platform, then you notice, and take it back 3 years, 5 years.
Sure.
You notice that a substantially less amount of homes are sold in February compared to August.
Right.
And the shift can go a month here or there, but ultimately this summer you see a lot more volume, both in active and solds, and then in the winter you see less solds. That doesn't necessarily mean that listing a property in the winter is a bad idea. When you have low supply and lower closings, then maybe that gives you an opportunity to snag the buyers who couldn't find something during the summer. So, you know, it just depends on what the product is.
And within that too, what are we seeing as far as things that don't last long on the market? I would assume if you have a house that's under 450 grand that's in decent shape, it goes quick.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
If you are in town and you're under 450 and it's 3-2 with 1,500 plus square feet, that thing's going like hotcakes.
Yeah.
What's happening is you'll see a lot of properties that are a 3-bedroom, 1-bath built in 1952, haven't been updated since 82, with 1,100 square feet for 450.
Wow.
Right. And so there's a lot of you know, little ranchers on the west side, those kinds of things that, you know, per square foot, they're in the box, but ultimately because of some of the updates that need to be done to it or the lack of TLC to it, maybe it's less palatable to a buyer who would spend everything that they have to get that house and then wouldn't be able to do the updates. So there's a little bit of a pricing pressure there.
Well, and it's always interesting to me just watching the I'm gonna say the ebb and flow and, you know, supply and demand and all of the things that occur. But, you know, with the different areas around Durango, is there one area that's the hot area? I mean, like Three Springs, it seems like those prices also have also pushed up. Now we're seeing activity with Subaru going out there and the new senior living facility or apartments. You know, we're seeing that some new building going on. Is that one of the hot places to buy, or is it still in downtown, so to speak, within the central business district?
We have a couple of really cool corridors that are attracting more growth. Three Springs is obviously one of the biggest ones. That's our burb. And there's 250,000 square feet to be developed there in commercial. Right now there's a little bit over 200 units and they're planning on 1,200 homes. So the growth there is evident. Then you have projects like Twin Buttes, which is a big planned community, and they're doing great and finally getting traction with their sales out there. A lot of cool products there. Then you have the Edgemonts, which, you know, now there's four different Edgemonts. And so, you know, those are pretty much the corridors. If you go east, west, or north, you're going to run into some of that growth.
Right.
I think that the hottest area still remains to be in town Durango, as far as the amount of buyers wanting to be somewhere. But we have seen incredible number increases in Bayfield.
Oh, okay.
They have increased their rooftops. And because of that, and because of the price point, there is just a lot of activity out there this year. And I just said it in my real estate update with Inside Durango TV, but in October, they saw a 200% increase in the number of sales, number of homes sold.
That's a huge
year
jump.
Year over year, October to October, which that's a huge jump, but it's only like seven more houses or something.
Still, I mean, it shows that there's a lot of activity out there. Right. And I've seen a couple more subdivisions that are being developed in the Bayfield area, kind of up there by
the Meadows.
Yes, yes. Yep. Yeah. And Bayfield, it's always interesting to me. People say, oh, I don't know if I want to do that commute. And then you talk to somebody that's from Denver, major metropolitan area, and they're like, it's so close and such an easy drive, you know, and it's all perspective in Bayfield, great school system and other things and amenities that are offered out there.
Yeah. I lived in New Orleans and lived 2.3 miles from my office. It took me half an hour to get there.
Yeah.
Because of traffic. So it is. It's all relative. But, you know, you have what's called Durango Far. I don't want to go to the North City Market if I'm downtown. You know? Like, so,
so funny. Durango,
hashtag Durango Far.
That's a good term. So what, let me ask you this. What are some of the things that you enjoy about owning your own business?
Oh, man. Well,
didn't know I'd ask that question.
Yeah, the ability to fire myself once a month. But
perfect.
No, I think entrepreneurship is just in my blood. I love the flexibility. You have to be a self-starter if you're going to own a business. You have to wake up and go to work. But that also gives you the ability to plan your vacations and to take time off when it's necessary. And so, you know, there's definitely struggles with that as well. But it's the flexibility that really attracts me to it.
Right, right. And then I would assume too, with being in the real estate world, you know, you have the Durango Area Association of Realtors, but then also I want to say some, whether it's mentoring or other opportunities to work with others in your field, and educational opportunities are alive and well in Durango.
Real estate is not just for realtors. I feel like it's an inherent piece of most humans' puzzle, at least in a capitalistic society where, you know, where we're all buying and selling homes, and that's the American dream that still exists, is to own a home. You know, I think there are issues with it as well. You know, particularly some of the pricing stuff. I wish we could find more attainable ways to get people into houses. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, we talk about Three Springs and those things where the prices are increasing. It's because dirt is expensive.
Yeah,
we have a limited amount of space here. We can only grow in certain ways, and that puts that upward pressure on price just for the dirt, which inherently, when you add labor and materials and you're bringing it from in the middle of nowhere in the desert, you know, that's it just adds to cost. And so we're trying to figure that out too.
Well, and I think that's one of the big things I always hear is, you know, developers talk about that, you know, especially with apartment complexes, saying, well, we can go vertical,
right?
You know, price per unit goes down because you can just build higher. And that's something I think that the city has to take a hard look at, and, you know, the county and surrounding communities, just to say, you know, everything's three story. Well, you know, at some point we're going to have to allow maybe four or five stories in certain areas to allow that infill to occur.
Yeah, the view shed is probably one of the major problems with that. And so with this 144 unit proposed on the north side is a really good example.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of people looking out that way at the mountain, but when people drive by, they're going to see a very tall building, right? And so we are trying to, I speak for myself only, I suppose, but ultimately the people who are thinking about this are trying to maintain character. We don't want to overbuild here. We want to have smart growth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're battling people who want boutique hotels, but the only people who are willing to pay for the dirt are these big box flagship hotels, you know, how are you going to have that argument? And, you know, I try all the time, but it's hard when there's not the full amount of information in front of it.
Well, I always laugh because, you know, I've been here 38 years, so I remember out in the middle where Walmart is. I always say, I will say right in the middle of where the sporting goods section is at Walmart used to be this radio station. This group of radio stations, that's where they were located.
Wild.
And I remember when the drive-in was where Rocket Point is. I mean, all these things. And when people talk about, oh, my gosh, Durango's gotten so big, it's like, yeah, but we've only grown at an average of 2% growth.
Right.
It hasn't been explosive like Frisco, Texas, which was growing at 10%, you know, and back in the 90s. And right.
Same with the Colorado Springs. And they just grew east and overbuilt. And we almost are constricted geographically and can't overbuild. That's not necessarily true, seeing the townhome market softened a little bit in the last two quarters of this year. But, you know, ultimately, we don't sprawl yet. And I, you know, like the 160 corridor is a really good example. That's going to fill in. The more people who want to live out of urban centers are going to move to places like this. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, development's going to happen. So, you know, when people have opinions on that, the best way to get involved is to go to meetings and try to voice your opinion on how to do it the smartest way.
Right. And having those growth nodes where it's synergistic, you know, so Bayfield, Ignacio, out by the airport, areas that are would make sense, so to speak, to have your next developments plan and plan development and where that growth node is. I was going to ask you something, and I just completely spaced the question. Oh, wow, that's just bad. Oh, no, what's your website? We should probably give you a free plug here. What's your website?
Thank you. My website is alpenglowproperties.com. For lack of time, why don't you just go to weselldgo.com? That will forward right over to it, but thank you for the plug. Yeah,
weselldgo.com.
You can search properties there. You can submit questions. You can ask for market prices on your current home. We have a full service real estate site.
And what's the benefit of hiring a realtor?
Oh man, there's so many. I think that with the amount of information out there, it's important for people to understand that we don't think we're making reinventing the wheel. Like Zillow gives you every piece of information you want about a process or about a price or a particular house. What we know are stats. We know the past. We know contracts. We know how to be the experts in our field. And ultimately, the human condition allows for us to still have a job because we broker deals. We put people together who may not put together deals otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing is a big deal. But again, I think the realtor, we have a standard of ethics that we adhere to. And that standard of ethics is what drives that value, because ultimately we have the client's best interest at heart.
Right.
And when you do it yourself, you may be getting involved with the party on the other side who may not.
Well, and I always say too that it's all the things that you do behind the scenes that people, when you're selling or buying a home, that we don't see. You know, people say, oh, they put the sign up and 2 days later I sold the house. Well, it's because you have all those connections and everything you bring to the table. So
it's the buildup.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, you go live and then you get a showing and they put it on a contract right away.
Yeah.
One, you priced it right. And maybe that was part of the conversation. But two, it's about that full blast marketing. If you get to the ability to encompass every potential client who needs to see that house in order to try to get it sold, that's why you hire a realtor, is to make sure it's everywhere at once.
Absolutely. And one more time, your website?
www.alpenglowproperties.com or weselldgo.com.
All right, Dan. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Jack. Have a wonderful day, man.
Well, I'm going to try.
All right.
We got to send it back to the studios. Again, Dan Corman with Alpenglow Properties. And if you're in the business right now to buy or sell, give them a holler. And we have to send it back to the studios. You've been listening to Chamber Chat. Have a great day.